It truly is a privilege to be your pastor this evening, and I would ask that you would turn in your Bible again to Ephesians chapter 6 for our scripture text for the sermon this evening. Ephesians chapter 6, and I'd like to just read again verses 18 through 20, which will be the focus of our consideration this evening. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to that end keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless our time together. Our Father, it's truly a privilege this evening to be in your house, to be with your people. It's something we don't want to take for granted. So we come asking that again you would help us to understand, to be challenged, and to be encouraged and comforted as we look into your word. We pray for the help of the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. The title of my message this evening is simply Prevailing and Persevering in Prayer. Prevailing and persevering in prayer. Generally speaking, I could not get away from this theme as the sermon for this evening. And so my struggle was to preach either from this text or its companion text in Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, where the Apostle Paul tells us to continue steadfastly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. So I will be referring some to the Colossian text, but I decided I'd primarily stay with this text that we have this evening. As we begin, I realize that many here, in fact, most of us here, give ourselves to prayer. You are people of God who pray both in private and in public. And even those of you who are watching online tonight who are with us through the internet. I believe we're a body of people who are giving ourselves to prayer and consider prayer our very lifeline, in fact. If I were to ask you at the door and say to you, what about prayer? You'd say, Pastor Stephen, it's my lifeline. I have to pray. I have to call upon God. I want to have communion. I want to have fellowship with God. I want to know God better. I want to praise Him more. I'm sure each of us this evening, if we were in a conversation, you would begin to remind me of this fact that it's a precious purchased gift by Jesus Christ that he purchased with his own blood. In fact, one of the brothers prayed that on Wednesday evening as we were together. Christ bought that privilege that we could pray to him on the cross. It's a wonderful privilege that we can come through him. We can come right now in this service. As I'm preaching, you can call out to Christ for needs or burdens or prayer requests or sins that you need to confess that you've maybe committed even this day in the Lord. He hears your prayers and he answers your prayers. So we're a body of people who pray individually. We're a body of people who pray with our spouses, I hope, and in our families and in small groups and as a church, not to mention those spontaneous times that come up, I'm sure. I believe, dear brethren, that we're in a season of time as a church where we're giving ourselves, at least I trust you're giving yourself, I know I'm giving myself, to more intense prayer as we call out to the Lord to renew us, to give us more of His grace, to give us more help as we think about this transition for the future as Pastor Gary will retire next year. We've already had two special Wednesdays to pray, and more special Wednesdays will be coming ahead. And we need, don't we, that confidence in God for what He will do. For what He has done, we give Him thanks. And for what He will do, we trust Him. But we have to call upon His name. We pray, dear brethren, because at the same time, a number of you are struggling and you're hurting right now. Some of you have lost loved ones. You've had struggles come up into your life that are devastatingly painful. And that pain at times doesn't seem to go away. And so you are giving yourself to prayer to the Lord for His help. Maybe even tonight, dear church, you're dealing with an area of your life that you've not wanted to handle. You've not wanted to address. Maybe an area of sin or struggle. But you're giving yourself to that area and you're praying over it. And you are making progress by the grace of God. But you would say this evening that it's still very emotional, that it's still very painful, and it burdens you at times. Dear ones, we pray because what we have known about the Far East, we have come to see that the spiritual struggle for our brethren overseas is intensely real, isn't it? We've seen that they're in spiritual warfare. Maybe we had gotten into some spiritual ease about that need, and now we're hearing of the condition that they're in and that they need our prayers. And so we are seeking to cry out for missions and for churches and others in other parts of the world. And I don't want to paint a negative picture either, but to also tell you another reason why we've been giving ourselves to prayer and why we must pray, because there are many spiritual encouragements that the Lord is giving to us as His church. There are spiritual opportunities, dear ones, that God is opening up to us, isn't He? There are new folk that are coming to church who we've never seen before. There are new ways that God is calling us to step it up spiritually. There are new ministries ahead. There are new leaders and chances for our church to be more like Christ. There are new souls to win for Him. There are believers that need to be built up. There's new vision. There's new mission. There's a new movement for Christ. And so we need to be a church that prays. So, brethren, I think tonight we really do need these verses, these encouragements from Ephesians 6, 18 through 20, that call us again to continue steadfastly in prevailing and in persevering prayer. So as we come to these verses, let me just say with a little more introduction here that I'm not going to summarize the book of Ephesians so much. Pastor Randy certainly last Sunday evening gloriously opened up the exaltation of Christ for us in those first three chapters, which are exalting Christ and are very doctrinal. The couple of things that I would have you remember as we're looking at this book this evening is that Paul is writing these words not from a resort in some nice place, but he's writing them to us from a prison cell, maybe with the chains on his hands. You kids, you could even see it, couldn't you? You could see the Apostle Paul. Maybe he's got a chain on this hand, or maybe he's got a chain over here on one of his legs. And he's in a confined spot. He can't go from place to place. And he's writing all this glorious truth, all about the exaltation of Christ that we heard last week. And then now about the spiritual armor and about prayer. And he's telling us to pray and he's encouraging us. This is written from a prison cell. And when you're reading it, you almost forget that it's written from a prison cell because it's so glorious and because it's so encouraging. The next thing I want you to remember is I want you to think about this church. And it's absolutely thrilling when you think about what God did for them in Acts chapter 19. In fact, listen to this summary, how the Lord saved them in a dramatic way. Acts 19 verse 19 says this, "And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together, and they burned them in the sight of all, and they counted the value of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily." In other words, there were people there in Ephesus who were worshiping idols. They were calling out after gods, like Pastor Hendricks was telling us this morning. But when the message of Christ and Him crucified, the one who took the wrath of God for our sins, when they heard that message, they believed as Paul preached the message and the other workers. And the work of God was so dramatic and so intense, if you will, that they took their magic things and their books and they put them all in a big pile and they set them on fire as a way of showing to those around them that they loved God and they were for Jesus Christ. This is the Ephesian church. These are the ones to whom Paul is saying, "Now, brethren, give yourself to prayer. Pray much. Pray often." So now as we get to our verses at hand, Paul is closing down this letter. He's bringing it to an end. And he's encouraging the brethren with the different pieces of spiritual armor that a Christian needs to have. And I'm not going to preach through the different spiritual armor pieces, although it would probably be very beneficial to do so. I just want to highlight that in verse 17, he tells the believers to take up the helmet of salvation. That is, to take up the hope of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as an aside, William Gurnall talks about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ of eternal life, rather like a handkerchief or like he calls it a napkin that wipes the tears from the believer's eyes as he looks forward to the coming of the Lord and being with the Lord. The next thing that the Apostle Paul talks about in verse 17 is the active weapon, which is the Word of God. The Word of God that we are to take up, and we're to use that Word of God. And we've been exhorted over these last several Sundays about taking up that Word and using that Word of God. Well, then now the Apostle Paul stops talking about belts and breastplates and other kinds of structures, and he starts speaking to us about what we might call the weapon of all prayer. And so that's what I want to exhort you with over the next few minutes. Let's look at this aspect of prayer. And I know, dear church, that this may be like old hat to you. You could say to me, I know about prayer, I know about where to pray. But I ask that you would try to listen again with a fresh ear, with a fresh heart, that the Lord would encourage you and just remind you again that this is a privilege, this is a blessing that's been purchased with the very blood of Jesus Christ. So the first thing I want to say to you is a general thought about praying. And that is, how might you define prayer? And those of you that maybe are writing in your notebook, you might try to write down just a little definition of how you might define prayer. There are a number of different definitions I'm sure that some of you are familiar with. I would offer this simple definition: calling out to God with all your heart, with thanksgiving, confession, and petition in the name of Jesus. Calling out to God with all of your heart, with thanksgiving, confession, and petition in the name of Jesus. And we could even add by the Holy Spirit, which we'll talk about in just a little bit. But as we're thinking just generally about this aspect of prayer, which is the first word of my text, praying, okay, I want to ask you again, have you gotten over the fact that you can come to God in prayer through Jesus Christ in the Spirit's help? Have you gotten over that? Has it stopped amazing you this evening that right now you can pray? That you can pray in an airplane. You can pray in any place and in any circumstance. You can call out to God. And you can call out to God, and I can call out to God, though we're not yet perfected. No, we're not yet like we will be when we're in heaven. I mean, doesn't it amaze you that a sinner like you and a sinner like me can call out to this perfect and to this holy God with such an open access at any time? It's just absolutely glorious. It's a privilege that we all have. You say to me, "I'm just a new believer, Pastor C. I've only been saved a couple of months." You've got it. And then maybe you're someone this morning or this evening, you've been saved a long time. You've got it too. That same access with God our Father. We have this evening, dear ones, an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And we can come and we can pray and we can call out to His name. One last general thought here is that the Lord even hears the quick prayers. Do you have to pray quick prayers? Are some of you ladies, some of you dear moms this evening, do you have to pray a lot of quick prayers? You sit down to read your Bible and to have some time with God. Someone comes downstairs and they need something. Could be anything, right? From their schedule at college to something to eat to a decision that needs to be made. And so what do you dear ones do? Well, you don't say, hey, just go away. Now, maybe sometimes you do. I'm not getting into those kind of things. But you know what I'm saying? You say, Lord, I need wisdom. I need to say the right thing right now. I need to be a Proverbs 31 woman. You said that you put the mouth of wisdom and meekness, and I need that on my lips right now. And then you speak. Those are those quick prayers that we talk about. Right? Some of you men, you're in a business meeting, right? You're getting ready to make another statement. You say, oh, Lord, help me. Isn't that a great prayer? Have you used that prayer this week? Oh, Lord, help me. And yet that word help, four letters, has so much power because we're calling upon the name of our God. So we say those quick prayers. How are you doing? Are you having fellowship with God? I just challenge you to think about that. How are you doing in times with your family? Some of you dads, me, are we calling everybody together to try to have some time to pray? We're busy. And when we hear about that, we think, oh, how am I going to do it? Well, let's just try tomorrow. Right? I did it with my guys. I did it night before last. I went up and I had prayer with each of them. Because I was like, Lord, you know, I'm going to be faithful to you as we pray in our families. Philippians 4, verse 6. Don't be anxious for anything but what? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what? The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And I didn't outline all that stuff in the beginning of my sermon just to say it. It's because it's true about each of you as a people of God. And you are filled sometimes with anxiety. And you are filled with care. And we as your pastors and your leaders, we can't always meet all those needs. And so what do? Well, the best we can do, and it is the best, is we just say, look to Jesus. Look to Him. Call out to Him. Ask Him for prayer. Ask Him for power. Ask Him for help. Ask Him for might on your life. Call out to the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, says this. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That's just at all times giving yourself to prayer. So it's a privilege. It's a privilege. The next thing that our text tells us, it says praying, and then it says at all times. Now, so far, the text that I've been opening up to you is not very difficult. It doesn't. It's just straightforward as the Lord gives us this understanding. So the next thing He tells us is to pray at all times. And I sort of said that in my last point, but let's go through it just a little bit. There are times, listen, there are times when we must pray and seek God for His will. Church, we've got to hear that. Like, here's one. We've got to be at the prayer service so that we can seek His will. We've got to be there. That's one of the all times that He wants us to be at the prayer service, to be there in prayer, to be calling out to the Lord. We had such a good turnout on Wednesday night when the men over here and the ladies and the young people. And what were we doing? We were doing the work of God. We were fighting. We were wrestling. There was spiritual warfare that was going on. So let's not shirk these times, but let's take them up. You see, they're a privilege. They're a blessing. They're purchased by Christ. You know, I tried to think of this really cool illustration, and it kind of fell apart. You know, the illustration of, you know, somebody gives you tickets to go be at a special basketball game, like, you know, with Steph Curry or something like that. Or you'll find this very funny, I'm sure. But I would like to be able to sit with the Queen and talk with her for just a little bit. Maybe it's because of my friendship with Bill Hughes or something like that. I think that would be really interesting. You know, Billy Graham had a time with the Queen, and I would like to have a time with the Queen. But anyway, but right there, you could think of an illustration like that. Well, I don't have any good illustrations like that this evening. But we get to have residence with Jesus. And I don't mean to be funny or whatever, but I really think that He's here on Wednesday night. And He's here on Sunday, and He's here on Sunday evening. And He meets in our small groups. And He comes and He says, here I am. I'm here. And we got to be there. Now, I know we have work, and I'm not trying to make anybody feel or whatever, but can't we push ourselves a little bit sometimes too? Can't we say to ourselves, you know, Jesus is there. He's the Lord. He's purchased me. I'm going to be there. And usually what happens is what? We get there, and we start hearing the reports. We start hearing about, like, on Wednesday night, we heard Alex Weber. I mean, didn't some of us pray years ago that God would take some of our young people and he might use them to go into foreign places and to bring the gospel to those places? And so there was Alex sharing. He was nervous, just like we used to be nervous when we were his age. But he wanted to share, and he talked about the work God had given him to do. And then we prayed for him. We were sending him out, and we send him out tonight in Christ's name. And kids, I just want you to know tonight, you're hearing my heart. A number of you are coming out to the prayer meeting. More of you are coming out to the prayer meeting. I just want to encourage you. You are seeing the very heart of the church at the prayer meeting. The very heart of God. You're seeing what God does. You're seeing how people are saved. You're seeing how these brethren here really are gospel witnesses in this community. You're seeing how some of them give the gospel, they give tracts, they pray for people, they go to someone's house and give food. I have in my notes, I get amazed at small group, prayer group, by how much gospel work is going on with people. So kids, come out to the prayer time if you can. Ask your parents, I'd like to try to come out to the prayer time. You young people, keep up the youth prayer time. Don't let it dwindle. It could dwindle. People are like, oh, well, you know, it's getting old. Give yourself. We need our youth to be those that pray. Remember, it was Pastor Andy Hamilton who said, the men who pray are the men who go. And it's true. So give yourself to prayer. And don't miss the small group prayer service, too. Those are special times as well. And in these all times, how do we pray? Well, we pray in the Spirit. We pray with the help of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, He's going to bring the Word of God to our hearts as we're in prayer. The Holy Spirit is going to bring us spiritual strength that we need supplied. The Holy Spirit is going to bring promises to our minds from the Lord. The Holy Spirit is going to groan in us and with us as we bring burdens and cares and anxieties. And most of all, the Holy Spirit is going to point us to Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We need the Holy Spirit, and He promises to come as we call out to Him. This is a unique time for us as a church. We're in a new season with the hand of the Lord upon us. We've been through trials, but we've seen God working in our midst. But we have a new season before us. A new season to call on God and to be all in for Jesus Christ. And so we've got to be much in prayer at all times. So let's take it up. Let's take up the work of prayer. Let's pray without ceasing. Let's commit, brethren. Let's rally and say, yes, we will give ourselves to prayer, just like the Apostle Paul. And just wait. He builds towards a mighty, mighty point as we keep moving. Well, quickly, as we move on, Paul says, as we're all praying together in these different situations at all times, then he says, with all prayer. With all prayer. Now, probably you young people, you remember ACTS. Have you learned that in Sunday school? ACTS, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Those are the types of all prayer. What is adoration? Well, I could have you raise your hand, but I won't do that. But adoration, who God is. We start praising God for who He is and for what He's done. Confession, as you saw in both of the public prayers this evening, confessing our sins, being before the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need Your grace. I don't follow You as I should. Please make me holy and like Your Son. And then there's thanksgiving, thanking Him for the food that we have, for this lovely building that we can worship in that's cool. Well, it's relatively cool. I'm kind of hot. That's why you see me drinking all this water up here. And then there's just general supplication. All those needs, all those types of intercession that we're asking God for. I would just encourage you to use all prayer. Take them all up and then analyze your own prayers. Maybe it's time to go back and use the Lord's Prayer as a model, or this idea that I had of Acts in your prayers. And check yourself out. How am I doing with adoration? How am I doing with thanksgiving? How am I doing with supplication? So you can think through those things. The next point the apostle talks about is, he says, with all perseverance. With all perseverance. See, the apostle Paul, as it says right there, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance. Paul knew we get discouraged. Paul knew that we needed to persevere. The Holy Spirit knew that we needed to be prodded. We need to be pushed as the people of God. And so he wrote to us and he says, with all perseverance. He tells us to keep alert. And he tells us to keep alert because we don't keep alert. The disciples didn't keep alert. We don't keep alert. And so he reminds us that we can get tired, that we can get weary, that we can even be discouraged. And so maybe there's someone here tonight and you're tired and you're discouraged. And you say, I love the Lord and I want to pray, but I'm just tired and discouraged. Well, the scripture tells you to persevere before the Lord. And listen, I think the thing sometimes that we, and that's why you read through the Psalms, amen. You have to believe in your heart that the Lord is hearing the prayers. Not just that you're telling something and it goes up, but that he's really hearing, that he really knows what you're saying, that he's heard in love, that he's taken everything in that you've said to him, and then he's going to give to you either the yes, the no, or the wait. And that's what's best. Do you see what I mean? See, I'm like you too. We want the yes, or we want the answer, and we forget that he's heard. And I emphasized that earlier, so I won't go much more about that. But let's think about giving ourselves even more with all perseverance. Brethren, all perseverance even means when we're in prayer meetings or in times of prayer. As we hear other brethren praying, we've got to persevere. We've got to get behind it. In prayer, in our thoughts, and in our minds. As that brother is calling out to the Lord, or that sister is calling out to the Lord, we're with them. Right? Maybe we're getting tired, or we're got our head down so low, we don't have the oxygen, as it were. We got to lift our heads up. We've got to be with our brethren. It's not by accident that we're praying. Do you see what I'm saying? In other words, if Brother Ed right here is praying, then as he's calling out to God, I'm supposed to be with him. I wasn't much of a football person, but, you know, as he's praying, I'm supposed to be supporting him. I'm supposed to be behind him. I'm supposed to be engaged as he is praying, as it comes up to God. I'm not to be, you know, criticizing him or thinking about this or that. I'm supposed to be saying, Brother Ed, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, calling out to God, me behind him. In prayer, I'm going to pray with him. I'm going with him. He's talking to Jesus. He's his Savior. He's my Savior. This is important. It's not like, brethren, it's not like an extra part of our service or just something that we check off as we get to the Word. Now, the Word's primary, as you can see this evening, but the apostles did what? Acts 2:42. They gave themselves to the apostles what? Doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and what? The prayers. Go through the book of Acts. They're getting together to pray. We would just hate that persecution would have to be something that would stir us in that sense. So maybe you are struggling in the prayer meeting. I would just, or when one of us as pastors are praying, don't quit, but give yourself, stir yourself up to pray, because this is part of the worship of God as we depend upon him. Now, as I bring all this towards a finale, if you will, then the Apostle Paul, after he said, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, then Paul starts getting specific. And he says, make all prayer needs to be made for all the saints. Paul says, pray for all the believers. All the believers of other churches. He was asking these dear individuals who had been saved by the grace of God, who the Lord had changed from idol worshippers to serve the living and true God, who had given up all their idolatry. He tells them, you pray for the saints. They were once dead in their trespasses and sins, and they were under the control of the prince of the power of the air. You with me? But then what happened? The gospel came and they were transformed into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. And so he says to them, now, dear church in Ephesus, pray for the saints. Pray for all the different saints. The church in Ephesus was just like our church. You with me? They were. They were husbands. They were wives, chapter 5. They were children. They were servants. They were people of different positions. There were masters of differing statuses in society. And to this group of people, to this wide group of people, but saved by grace, Paul says, pray for all the saints. Keep praying. Pray for them all. He wanted the church to pray for the believers there in that church, as well as believers in other churches. Think about that for just a moment more. All the saints, they had no cell phones. They had no Facebook. They had no prayer sheets. Probably, unless they had papyrus sheets or something, I don't know. But if someone was a true follower of Jesus Christ, they were to be prayed for, they would be brought before the throne of grace. Bring the saints, those that are holy, those that are called out by the Lord, pray for them. Pray for all the saints. As we pray, dear ones, for all the saints, it builds unity. As we pray for one another, it builds unity. It pushes away the petty desires and the petty thoughts and the small things and the secondary and tertiary things. And it rises up the true things, the high things, the important things, the kingdom things. Ephesians 4, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Lord who is over all and in you all. I was going to bring the directory tonight, but I didn't bring it, but you can pretend that it's right here in my hand. So pretend you've got that yellow directory. These are your brethren. This is your team. This is your spiritual family. And I would say to you, some of you are already doing this, but I would just say to you again, start praying through that directory. Just start praying through it. Begin to pray through and especially others who may be visiting as well, but start praying to that directory. Maybe take a psalm or take a scripture and pray for each person. Could we fathom what the Lord could do if we prayed through the directory? What the Lord might do. And see, brethren, as you're praying through those needs and those names, the Lord is doing great and mighty things. Like I was saying to you in the small group time, we hear of brothers and sisters and young people who are doing the Lord's work, and we're seeing them do great and mighty exploits. And as you do that, what you'll find is that you've prayed for brother and sister so-and-so, and the Lord might just allow you a week down the road or something that you'll hear that they had a need or they had a burden or they had an opportunity, and the Lord answered that according to His purpose. Pray for the saints. We are the saints. We're the believers in Jesus Christ. So we can pray for one another. Pray with the directory. The last thing that I want to say from this text is some amazing words that are in verse 19. Maybe just back up and say all the saints. Don't leave anybody out. If there's somebody you're leaving out, you need to go to them. If you can't pray for them, you need to go to them. Matthew chapter 5. But the next thing is it says, and also for me. Now, if I don't know if it makes you smile, but it makes me smile a lot when Paul says, pray for me. It's a privilege to pray for others, isn't it? Those who have been bought with the precious blood of Christ, our brothers and our sisters. But then here, the Apostle Paul says, pray for me. And I would just ask you again, let's take it or say it this way. Let's take it seriously when someone asks us to pray for them. Don't get worn down by so many prayer requests and so many needs. It can be easy to do. Listen, Paul is a man of God, and he's a man who's not proud. And certainly the false teachers were, as we see in the other apostle and the other epistles. They were proud and they were self-promoting, which wasn't a sign of a true man of God or a true servant of Jesus Christ, because a true servant of Jesus Christ asked for prayer. And so we let those words sink down into our hearts. The apostle tells us, pray for me. I need prayer, Paul says. I know who I am. We heard about it just a couple of weeks ago. This man, Saul of Tarsus, who was beating people up and who was wreaking, the Bible says, havoc on the church. That's what his former life was. And then God saved him. Paul always remembered that what? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He didn't forget that. He knew that he needed prayer. Paul was a humble man. I think it's 1 Corinthians 7 who talks about that he buffets his body. He knows what could happen to him. Some of you here tonight, maybe in this service, you would say, like the Apostle Paul, please pray for me. Please pray for me. I have a son who's unsaved. I have this relationship that's not mended. Please pray for me. You see, the Apostle Paul really does believe that he needs the Ephesians' prayers. This isn't just words to him. And if you don't believe me, you can look through all the epistles. He's always telling the churches, pray for me. And the thing I want you to know tonight, Paul needs words. And we need words as your pastors. We need spiritual words. We need God-anointed words. And that's what he says. Pray for me what? That words may be given to me in opening up my mouth, that I may speak the mystery of the gospel. And we who are your pastors this evening, we feel that way, maybe more than ever before. We need the spiritual words. We can't do this work alone. We need you. As the people of God, we need you to pray for us as like never before. We want the hand of God on our ministries and on our work and on our testimony and on our private ministry and our public ministry. And I know you are praying. I had a brother tell me at the door that he was praying for my sermon this evening, and I need it. But it's true. We're not just saying that to you. We mean it just like the Apostle Paul meant. We need you to pray. We need you to pray. I bet Pastor Gary would amen this. We need you to pray every single day of this coming week for the sermon next Sunday. If you prayed for I guess Pastor Gary's preaching next Sunday. I don't know. And Pastor Michael, maybe it's in the evening. It doesn't really matter, but we'll know here soon who it is, but that's not my point. If you prayed every single day for the sermon, then what's going to happen? You're going to come to the sermon with expectation, with faith, with confidence. You may get to Wednesday or Thursday and think, you know, I got to invite somebody. I believe God's going to do something. Because you're behind us in spiritual prayer. I would call out to you, please pray for us. Any time of the night, any time of the day, all throughout the day, pray for us. Pray for our deacons and the works that God has given for them to do too. They have so much ministry that goes unseen. They have needy people in the community that they minister to and in the church. Pray. Paul says, pray for me. You see, Paul wants to proclaim the gospel. And especially us as your pastors who are preachers and teachers, we want to proclaim the gospel. So pray for us. Now, where is Paul going to proclaim this gospel? Well, he's going to have to proclaim it in prison, isn't he? That's why he says those wonderful words, I'm an ambassador. But I'm not an ambassador at a hotel or at a nice house. I'm an ambassador in chains. That's a real honor, isn't it? Paul wants to proclaim the gospel, but he's there in prison, right? So what he's just asking is, dear Ephesian brethren, you pray for me that as the guard comes in, I won't just say, how was your day or how's your family or whatever, but I'll say, do you know Christ Jesus? Maybe that bluntly. Do you know Christ Jesus? I don't know Christ Jesus. Let me tell you who Christ Jesus is. Let me tell you what he did in my life. He says it, doesn't he? He says, that I may have my mouth open. That's our problem sometimes. We need to have our mouth open. We miss it. We want to open our mouth and we don't open our mouth. And he wants to proclaim it boldly, not loudly, but with that conviction that comes from God, with that spiritual power that comes from the Lord, to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. You mean Paul is a little unsure if he will speak it right? I'm encouraged by that. Maybe you are too. Paul's like, you know, I might not. You know what I mean. Does this not encourage and speak to you this evening? We so long, don't we, for those great places to proclaim Christ and for open doors, for large revival meetings, right, with hundreds and thousands like Whitfield or Billy Graham. But especially for us, for the people of God, for you, the people of God, you ladies and moms, it's going to be at Aldi, isn't it? It's going to be at Aldi rushing with a cart full of groceries and a distracted mind, making sure the kids don't throw the food out of the cart. Had to throw that in. That you'll say, I want to speak those words, right? Pray for me. Pray for me. I'm going out on a coffee with my friend. I want to speak the word. I want to speak the gospel. Pray for me. I'm sending an email out again. This is the third or fourth one to this unconverted person, but I'm going to send it out again. They're not saved. Pray for me and pray for us as pastors. So I've sort of kind of ran into this side. I'm almost done. But I called this last all reality of being in prison. Because that's where Paul is. You see, the Bible's real. The Bible's real. It's so earthy. It's so practical. It's down to earth. It's not a health and wealth, false teaching, so-called spiritual gifts kind of gospel. It's a real gospel. It's true. And so we see the man, maybe the greatest man Christ ever used, who could have done so much more for Jesus. But here he is. He's in a, as it were, but he's in a prison cell, saying, I'm an ambassador here. Please pray for me that I may declare boldly the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think Paul felt great every day in prison. I just really don't. And 2 Corinthians 6, maybe 11, shows some of the hardships that the apostle was facing and had faced. He wasn't glib to us. He was realistic. He was in the warfare, just like me and just like you. So there's a real reality here. You begin to feel the passion, your heart stirred up, and then you're reminded, hey, Paul's praying from prison. He's a real man just like us. Well, dear ones, as we close, let me just give these exhortations again, maybe as a repetition, but let's be renewed to be a people of prayer. Let's be renewed that we will be a people of prayer. Let's pray for one another as we have gospel opportunities. The Lord may be opening up new gospel opportunities. Let's pray for one another about those opportunities. Let's be those that are watching out for answers and reminding each other when they do. Keeping notes and journals and logs and sheets of paper in our Bibles of things that the Lord is doing. And can I say again that we as your pastors would like you to keep renewing your prayers for us to continue to uphold us more than ever before. We need your prayers. And may we, as a church, be strong in the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of his might. Let's pray together. Our Father, we ask that you would hear our prayers tonight and encourage and stir up your people. Thank you for the opportunities that you have in front of us, even for the challenges and trials. We come to you, our Father, asking that by the Holy Spirit, you would come upon us as a church, that you would make us more and more to be a church of prayer. And that, Lord, as we cry out in dependence upon you, that the blessing of God would come down and that it wouldn't be too long until we might see not a few brought to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and struggling and weak and hurting believers built up in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask all this in Christ's mighty name. Amen.